Alright, so in the middle of Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph, we're talking about sleep disorders last time. Sleep disorders. Ahasuerush was suffering from a sleep disorder. Klal Yisrael woke up. Kadosh Baruch Hu acted as if he woke up. You know, Kiviyachal. Everybody's up. Everyone's up in the middle of the night. Taking out in the pasuk, it says that the king woke up, and he commanded Lahavia Sefer Zecharias to bring the book, the scroll of memories. The scroll of memories. Sefer Zecharias is the scroll of memories. The scroll of memories. Divrei Hayamim. It's the book of chronicles. The words of chronicles. They should be read in front of the king. This is not the first time this book has made an appearance. We'll go back, way back to Perek Beis. Mordechai told Esther about the plot to kill King Ahasuerus. Esther told Ahasuerus, Bigs and Teres were hung. And in Perek Beis, Pasuk of Gimel, the last Pasuk, the Pasuk says, Vayikas Sefer, and it was written by Sefer Divrei Hayamim. In the scroll of the words, the events of days. So it's called the scroll of Divrei Hayamim. And here it's called the scroll of Zichronos. So when it was actually recorded, when Bigson and Teresh's attempt was recorded, it was recorded in the Sefer Divrei Hayamim. And when Ahasuerus couldn't sleep, he had them read for him from the Sefer Zecharias. So there's a number of Mefarshim that point out this, and they say this is evidence that there were two books. There were two scrolls. And we're going to have a couple approaches based on this model. We'll start with the Yosef Lekach. On this Pasuk, the commentary Yosef Lekach says there were two books. There was one book which was a storybook. Once upon a time, there were two foot soldiers, Bigson and Teresh, and they couldn't sleep. So because they couldn't sleep, because Ahasuerus was up the whole night, and they couldn't sleep, so they decided to kill Ahasuerus. And they were caught, and they were hung. That's one book. And then there was another book that might not have had all the details, but might have said, Mordechai saved the king, reference number 3921, Bigson and Teresh. And as a reward for that, he deserves ABCXYZ. So one was actually a storybook. It was a book of events. It was a historical account. And the other one was a record book. In the Persian monarchs, the custom was that the historical account was a permanent record that was there enshrined for all eternity, And the accounting book, the things that were written only until the reward was actually given out. Once the reward was given out, then they erased it. Now, if you have a ledger, you owe people money, and then you pay it up, so then you erase it. The Yosef Lekach says that the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, that's the historical book. That's the book which is mentioned at the end of Perek Beis. That's what they wrote, and they wrote in the events. And they wrote all the surrounding details of that incident. That was the Sefer Divrei Hayamim. This is not the same book. This is the Sefer Zecharias. Sefer Zecharias is that you want to remember to reward the person. So Hayamim Lahavia Sefer Zecharias, Ahasuerus was not asking for a bedtime story. If he wanted a bedtime story, then he would have asked for
the other book.
I'm not going there. Right. He would have asked for the Divrei Hayamim. There was something disturbing him. Something was disturbing him that he owed someone and he didn't pay them back. So he asked for the other book. He wanted the accounting book.
How come all of a sudden you remember that he owed someone?
From yesterday.
He couldn't sleep.
Esther.
Yeah, that was yesterday. We said that Esther, she started off a whole chain inside him. So that's the Yosef of luck. And there's a tremendously long targum here. I don't necessarily understand all of it. I'll try and share with you what you can. And he also talks about sleep deprivation. He says, Balailahu, it was on that night. That night, Hahu, Those of you that know Diktuk know what a Hei Yediyah is. What's a Hei Yediyah?
I don't know
Diktuk.
Hei
Yediyah is the. It was on that night. It was the night. It's something which gives chashivas. It lends importance to a noun or a proper noun, right? The pasuk is Balayla Hahu. Balayla Hu would have meant on the night. Balayla Hahu is on that particular night. There's a chashiva night. There's a prestigious night. Hahu, that was Pesach. We're in Pesach. We're in Pesach. Balayla Hu. The king's sleep was disturbed. What's so significant about that night?
It was right after
that was the night. That was the night when when redemption came to the Jews. The Jews were redeemed on Pesach. That night. That was the night when Sarah was dragged off to Abimelech's house. It was also on Pesach. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu smote Abimelech's house, and Sarah was freed. That was the night of Malchus Becheiros. That was a night of prophecy. That was a night, it was on that night, when all the provinces and all the ones who dwelled within them were in mourning, were in great mourning. In every city, there were eulogies, there was wailing. In all the countries, there were young people dressed in sackcloth. There were old people, young people, they were brokenhearted. And they were all crying out in bitter cries. Their voice was resounding throughout the countryside and wailing. And they said, we've seen so much pain. Klal Yisrael has lived through so much pain. And we've been broken. Broken. Broken, and the broken pieces have been broken into smaller pieces, and we've been ground up. And from days of yore, from eons ago, we've been broken. It's a brech dimension. And there's nothing that, there's nothing that we haven't gone through. We were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Everybody was happy that we were downtrodden. That means our respect was taken away from us. We were hated. We were despised. And never, ever did we ever have to live through what we're living through now. It's unparalleled. There's a Shemian Eitzah from, none of the kings or the nations arose. They never thought of such a thing. That there should be a day, a designated day, that we should be wiped off the face of the earth. That was that night. And then the Targum says that it was revealed to Mordechai that this is not a gzeir, it's not a decree from Achashverosh or from Amun. This decree is from Shemayim.
This is all Targum.
What?
This was all Targum?
There's a lot more. And that night, a Kadosh Baruch Hu's sleep was disturbed.
This
is
the first night of Pesach?
Yes. Pas Ura, Lamatishan, wake up. Why are you sleeping? There's no sleep. Kadosh Baruch Hu could sleep? What does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu woke up? Only someone that slumbers could wake up. Kadosh Baruch Hu could sleep? The Targum raises the question. The Targum answers, when Klal Yisrael does Chatayim, they don't follow God's will, then Kadosh Baruch Hu sleeps. Or he acts as if he sleeps. Kadosh Baruch Hu's sleep was disturbed. Mordechai's sleep was disturbed. He couldn't sleep. Why couldn't he sleep? Because the entire Klal Yisrael gathered by Mordechai's portals, by his door. And they said, you are the cause of all this. All this evil came upon us because of you, Mordechai. He said, if you would have stood up for Haman when he passed by, if you would have bowed down to him, then none of his pain would have come to us. Mordechai said, Haman was wearing an Avodah Zarah on his clothing. One in front of him, one behind him. So I couldn't bow down to him. I couldn't bow down to him when he was approaching, and I couldn't bow down to him as he was going away. Haman covered all the bases. If I'd bow down to him, I'd be bowed down to Avodah Zarah. This is one of the opinions that we said. One of the opinions why Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman is because he had an Avodah Zarah on his clothing. That anybody that bows down to an Avodah Zarah loses his Eilam HaZeh and Eilam HaBa. And they were all silent. Haman's sleep was disturbed that night. Nobody was sleeping. He couldn't sleep. So he was making the gallows for Mordechai. But Haman didn't know that he was making it for himself. So he was disturbed. He didn't even, you know, he didn't know. Esther couldn't sleep that night. She's making a whole suda for Haman. Haman Achashverosh, she's preparing it. She couldn't sleep. Achashverosh couldn't sleep that night. I guess, you know, we finally got to Achashverosh. If no one else could sleep, so Achashverosh, he might as well be up too, you know. He couldn't sleep. Esther and Haman are trying to kill him. It's a plot. Esther and Haman are plotting together to kill him. On that night, the merit of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov came in front of our Father in Heaven. And the Malach Michael came and sat by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in presence. You know, this is all Kiviyachal, so to speak. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a head that you could sit near, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. And they woke up the whole world. Woke up all of Bria. There's more. They sent the magic, the Targum says. That a vision of an impoverished person came in front of Achashverosh as a result of all this awakening. You know, Michal, Kadosh Baruch Hu woke up, Kiviyachal, so to speak, and sent Michal. And an impoverished person appeared in front of Achashverosh, and Achashverosh sees him, and he tells him, you know, Haman, he's going to kill you, Achashverosh. And Haman wants to rule in your place. And Haman is on his way now. He wants to kill somebody that saved your life. It's just perfect, you know. It's all set up. And, you know, this impoverished person, this shliach ben shemayim, tells Achashverosh he wants to kill you. He wants to replace you. He's on his way to your palace now. He wants to kill someone that saved your life, because then he's going to kill you. After he kills him, he's going to kill you. And then Haman came in. Okay, this is the target. There's a lot here. This is just the words. On your own, maybe you could look into it more. Pasuk Beis, right? But Yamatzi Kasev, it was found written. You know, when I open up a book and I read from it, I wouldn't say I found something written. I would say I read. It was found written. But Yamatzi, it was found as if something was lost. You know, you find something that you lost. But Yimatze Kasa was found written, Asher Higid Mordechai, the Mordechai related, he revealed, Abigsana Viteresh. Bigson noticed that Bigsana has an olive added onto his name. In Parak Beis, it's Bigson. Here is Bigsana. You noticed?
That a girl?
No. Bigsana Viteresh, Shnei Sarisi HaMelech, two foot soldiers of the king, Mishem Yasaf, they guarded the threshold. So Mordechai told the king, he informed the king, it was found written. So the Yosef Lekach says, what does it mean it was found written? Because since the Persian minhag was that in the Sefer as a Chronos, once the reward was given out, so that it was erased. So Achashverosh expected Achashverosh never expected to see it. It happened so many years ago. Someone saved his life and it's still in the Sefer HaZecharonis. That's strange. It should have been erased. Mordechai should have received his just deserts. It should have been erased. If he would have been reading the Sefer Divrei Yamim, he wouldn't have been surprised. It's there. But the Sefer HaZecharonis, it shouldn't be there for so long, you know.
Was he looking for Mordechai?
When? No.
No.
According to the Pshat of the Vilna Gaon, he was, because Esther was being Ma'aseh Nefesh, and it wouldn't be for herself because she had everything, and it must be for someone she's close to, and she was close to Mordechai.
She knew she was close to Mordechai?
Yeah. The Vilna Gaon knew that there was a relationship between Esther and Mordechai. He knew that Mordechai adopted her. What he didn't know is where her bloodline came from. But that's the Vilna Gaon. Not everyone learns of that. So
that sounds good with Vayin, so like, oh,
Vayimatze Kosev is that he found it. Right. He didn't, you know, he hoped it wasn't going to be there. Yeah, if you look in the Sefer Divrei Yamim, and you find that someone saved the king. You look in the Sefer Zechariah, and you find that someone saved the king. That's not good. Because that means you didn't reward him. You don't want that. You want anything in the Sefer Divrei Yamim not to be in the Zechariah. But Yimatzi found it.
This
is Yisav Laka. That's the upshot. Now the Malbim, he has an interesting mahalach here. He also has two books, but it's not the same two books. I mean, he doesn't divide it up in the same way. He said that it was a public record book. One. It had everything in there. All-purpose book. Public record book. And then Akashverosh had his own, you know, he had like a palm pilot. He had his own little think pad, you know. Those are the two books. You understand that the Yeshiv Lakach learns that there was a historical account and then there was an accounting book. The Malbim learns that there was a historical accounting book, you know, all in one. And then Akashverosh had his own personal notes, which he took from time to time, of matters of significance, that only he had access to. And it came in quite handy, because in the public record book, remember, who was the scribe? His name was Shimshi, and he was one of Haman's sons. He was one of the 11 sons. Remember, Haman had three sets of sons, 208, 10, and 1. He had 208 runners, he had 10, you know, governors, and he had one scribe. One scribe. So he had access to the records. You know, that is a very powerful position. You could write whatever you want. And you know what it said in that book? What do you think it said in that book? That Bigson and Terah tried to kill Dr. Shverish.
And Haman
saved him!
Pasuk Geis, it says that it was written in the presence of the king.
Just because the guy was standing in front of him and he wrote it doesn't mean that Akashverosh looked at it. And he can change it later.
That he could do.
He can erase it. He's got all the books in front of him.
And Haman saved him. And then the mom also adds, and Akashverosh, you know, Vashti was killed. Akashverosh was bereft without a queen. And Haman came up with this great idea to get Esther and to marry off. If you remember the way we learned before, it wasn't Haman's idea. Haman would not have taken somebody without known lineage. He wouldn't have taken someone like Esther. It was the young lads that they preferred youth over nobility. The young servants of the king. Haman wanted someone of a more distinguished lineage. It wasn't Haman's idea. He took the credit for it. Haman took credit for everything. Everything that went right in the kingdom was Haman's. It was undeniable. It was there in the records. And when Achashverosh couldn't sleep, so he asked him to bring the Sefer Zechariah. And they were going to bring him the official record book, because they knew that they want to bring him the doctored record book. And the Anais happened. This is the Malbim. Anais happened. He says, you know, the Anais in Purim is called, there's a term for the miracles of Purim. It's called Benhafachu. Benhafachu means things got overturned. And the Malbim says this happened in a general sense, that the Jews... everything was overturned, that the Jews went on top and their enemies went on the bottom. But he said it happened in literal sense also. The books were twitched.
Was it?
The Malbim doesn't tell us how. Accidental. Seemingly accidental. They wanted to bring the doctored book by mistake. They brought the real one. It was a very, very big mistake. It was the last mistake they were ever going to make. It was a fatal error. For Habakkuk, they brought the wrong book, which was the right book. So Akashverosh actually had his own notes, which had Mordechai's name in it, and it was all by accident, marks.
So who is the scribe for the accidental book?
Akashverosh. He wrote his own thing. Or at least it was something that he had access to. It could be it was written by someone, but it was something that was his own personal copy.
How did Akashverosh have documentation of Mordechai? How did he document anything about Mordechai?
He knew that Mordechai was the one that saved his life. At the time he did. Esther told him. So there's two books. There's a Nisim. There's a Medrash. It's in the Targum Sheni. You might have heard of this Medrash. He called Shimshi. He said, I can't sleep. Read me from the Sefer Divrei Yamim. Shimshi HaSefer. The last passage he wanted to read from was the passage that Mordechai saved Achashverosh's life. I mean, this Medrash is, according to this Medrash, that means that whatever book Shimshi had in his hands at the time had Mordechai's name in it, okay? The last thing he wanted to do was read from his life. So he opens it up, and he opens up exactly to the page where it says that Mordechai saved Ahasuerus' life. Ah, what are you going to do? So what would you do? What would you do?
Turn the page.
He turns the page. He didn't want to read it. And then the page flipped back. And there was nothing. That was the only thing that Hashem did not allow him to read anything else. He had a certain point, Dr. Zvira said, you better start reading already. And I guess he was afraid to ad lib it. It was a nace. He had to read. He was forced to read from it. There's an interesting insight from the Alshich, Ramosha Alshich, on this pasuk. Remember, he pointed out that Big Son's name is spelled Big Sana. There's an Aleph added at the end of the name. The Alshich says that there was another form of trickery. We had one version from the Malbim that Shimshi actually substituted Haman's name instead of Mordechai's. Yeah, to me that sounds like that's taking a very big risk, if you'd ask me. You're running the risk of Ahasuerus remembering that it wasn't Haman. I would think that's something that he might remember. That's running a big risk. I always had that problem with this pshat. You know, they're taking their life in their hands. Ahasuerus would never confuse Haman with Mordechai. They don't look like each other. And you can't say, if they get caught, they're finished. You don't forge some of his names in the national archives. But the also says it was more insidious. It was much more sneaky. They had the Mordechai's name there, but if they wrote the Mordechai saved Ahasuerus from Bigson and Tarish, then that makes Mordechai look like an ace detective. So instead instead of writing Bigson Viserish, they caught both of them. They wrote Bigson Oserish, Bigson Oserish. Now that is devious. Because that would give the impression, it would create a very strong impression that Mordechai wasn't sure. Yeah, Mordechai, it was either Big Son or Sarish, or wasn't sure. And that means that an innocent man got put to death because of Mordechai. So it takes away from Mordechai's accomplishment, from his covenant. That's something that's a lot more devious. So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? It said Big Son, oh Tarish. Hashem didn't want the message to get diluted. So Kadosh Baruch Hu caused the Aleph and the Vav to separate. And instead of saying Big Son, space, O, space, Sarish, it says Big Son, A, Viserish. Big Son, A, Viserish. Yeah? Tashamia. Let us move around. We had this by Lobadam and Labdam. Remember that one? See, the letters are moving here. They're moving letters. Speaking of moving letters, let's move on to some other letters. Pasuk Gimel. Vayemer Melech, so the king said, Ma nasa yikar gedula. Alright, so yikar and gedula, these are two different things. Greatness and honor. So yikar is honor, and gedula is to raise someone up. I mean, sometimes these two circles could have common ground. But yikar is you show honor to someone. You could praise him. Or like we saw, you could ride him through a horse through the streets. But gedula means to give him to raise his position. It means you up him, push him into upper management. So what did I do? Did I honor him? Did I raise him up? L'Mordechai, Elzeh, for what he did. Vayemer Nari HaMelech, and the young lads of the king said, Misharsav, they served him. L'Nasa Imay Dover, nothing was done with him. Nothing was done with him. Nothing was done with him. Very strange. I mean, it's not strange, it's just, it's mysterious. Nothing was done with him. The Vilna Gaon is consistent with the way he learned the previous psukim. The Ahasuerus was hoping that it would be a small thing. Because if he owed Mordechai a small thing, so when Esther would come and ask for a big thing from Mordechai, Ahasuerus would say, oh, he asked for such a big thing. What, in return for this? What, because he wants to tie my shoelaces? You know, like, what, so Mordechai one time he found my wallet and returned it to me. Esther, what is it? He asked for such a big thing. It's a small thing, and I rewarded him. He was hoping there was a small thing, and that he rewarded him. But then he found out that he was wrong on both counts. It was a big thing. It was the biggest thing. It was a thing of colossal magnitude. Grand proportions. He saved his life. He saved his life. And he didn't reward him. He's stuck. So he's, you know, so he's asking, he's grasping at straws. So if he did such a big thing, does it say what, did I give him back a big thing? He has to have what to say to Esther. He doesn't want to have to accede to her request. He has to have what to say to her. Your car doula, it's got to be something big. And of course they answered him, nothing, nada, nisht, gornished. That's the Vilna Gaon. Because, you know, he's pushing, you know, he knows. Esther has, you know, she has an unlimited line of credit back as Farish because Mordechai saved his life. It's not a good place to be. Leinasi Maidavar. So the young Liad said nothing was done to Mordechai. Now the Gemara has a problem with this. Because anytime, you know, this is something which is, this is pro Mordechai. It's good for Mordechai. Anytime a Gentile shows some type of disposition towards favoring a Jew, you always have to look for the motive. What is this here? You know, they want Mordechai to get rewarded? What are you answering? What are you saying?
He does want Mordechai to get rewarded.
What the young lads said? Shimshi? No, it wasn't Shimshi. He didn't ask Shimshi, but I guess he didn't trust him. He asked the young lads. The Gemara Megillah up to Zion says they didn't love Mordechai, but they hated Haman. And they knew that, you know, the most effective way of getting even with Haman is to make sure that Mordechai gets on it. So it wasn't, they weren't motivated by the great love of Mordechai, but they hated Haman.
Why did they hate Haman?
Because they hated him.
Because he was just not nice.
They hated Haman. They just hated Haman.
So why did they not want to read it? Why did they not want
to read it? No, this is two different people. The scribe didn't want to read it. The young lads, they would have been happy to read it. Uh-huh. But they weren't the readers.
Right.
There were two different groups. And the Sefer Yachmiam Leis adds to this. This is mamish awesome. He adds to the words of the Gemara. And he says, he's medayik from the words Leinasa Imay Davar. Nothing was done with him. You know, the correct way of saying it, a predictor, is nothing was done to him or for him. What does it mean when they said nothing was done with him? So Yaakov Miam Lois, it's a medrash. Yaakov Miam Lois says that they told Achashverosh, somebody was rewarded for saving your life. There was a reward for saving your life. It's just that it wasn't given to Mordechai. Mordechai saved your life, and you rewarded, but you rewarded Haman. The Medrash.
They probably got Haman.
Yes, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, it was Mamish. You know, Achashverosh is getting prepped. He's getting prepped for the scene in the the final scene.
But the Medrash says
that they told Achashverosh, yes, someone was rewarded. Lenasa Imai. Imai means something was done, not with him, though. Achashverosh says, oh.
Someone took the reward?
With who, then? He said, well, you rewarded Haman. Did Haman save me? No. So why did I reward him? I don't know. I don't know.
Achashverosh right now is probably so
mad. The Medrash doesn't say it, but it's not hard to guess, you know. It says Akadvar Melegidel Amalach Achashverosh as Haman. Haman was Akadvar Melegidel. That was right after Vixen and Teresh, right? Right. It says that they hung Vixen and Teresh. Akadvar Melegidel. After they hung Vixen and Teresh, Achashverosh raised up Haman. You know why? Because he took the credit for it. That's what I assume is the pashas. That's what I assume is the pashas. This is mamish, you know. The ground under Haman's feet is slowly eroding. It's like a thin layer under his feet that's being eaten away by termites, you know. And he's just gonna fall through. So, and, you know, it's just. He's standing on the thinnest layer of ice right now. This is Mamish. Pasuk Dal.
He's not aware of it.
Not at all. He's happy. He's going to hang Mordechai.
He thinks he's the guy.
Haman is about to knock on the door. He's about to knock on the door.
How did Haman know he was up?
We'll see.
He's like one of those guys in cartoons.
There's a machlokes whether he came at dawn. Which, you know, I guess it's an indecent hour to come to a king. As you know, because the Mishnah Maseches Brachos said, when do kings get up?
Yeah, kings get up mad.
Yeah, they get up 3 hours later than everybody else.
3 hours into the day.
3 hours?
So he came to...
No, I thought David slept like very little.
They really chilled.
Yeah, David didn't.
No, David chilled, right? But the other kings used to sleep like crazy, no?
Yeah, so they came to come at dawn, but according to one of them in Farshim, he came in the middle of the night. We'll see. As we shall see, as the drama unfolds.
Okay, because Achashverosh was awake anyway.
Everybody was awake. Everyone's awake, you know?
I don't even know what's going to happen.
Vayimei HaMelech. Alright, so this is it.
Don't ruin it for me.
Vayimei HaMelech, and the king said, Mi b'chatzer. Now, it doesn't say that Haman knocked and rang the doorbell. The king sensed it. Who's in the chatzer? He didn't come to the interior courtyard because the interior courtyard is a no-no. He was in the exterior, but Achashverosh sensed somehow or another, Achashverosh sensed that Haman was in the outer courtyard.
Smelt him.
Mi b'chatzer, v'Haman ba l'chatzer, and Haman came to the courtyard, Beis HaMelech, Achitzayna, the external one, Leim l'Melech, to tell the king, Litlas is Mordechai, to hang Mordechai, l'Eitza Shehekin, on the gallows which he prepared for him. It's interesting. Mi b'chatzer. The Medrash says that Achshverosh was alarmed. Mi b'chatzer means he's alarmed. He was alarmed. The presence of someone in the chatzer at that time alarmed him because he was dreaming. And in his dream, There was someone standing over him, ready to kill him. And that person, that assassin, bore a very, very strong resemblance to Haman. And he's dreaming that Haman is standing over his bed, about to kill him.
He's probably wearing that hat.
He woke up from it, and simultaneously, with his attaining a wakeful state, he hears somebody enter the courtyard. That is scary.
When did they answer him about the book?
Happens to me all the time.
About the rewards.
That happened to me once.
It's hard for me
like
to fix
though.
A yeah.
No one was
to
killing.
Fix,
yeah.
Fix a timeline here. It could be that
could be
you know you have to fit it. You have to fit it in somehow. I really don't know.
Right.
You have to fit it in.
Okay.
Could be it took a while for Haman to come in, and he had them read from it while Haman was in the outside. You have to fit it in, but the Medrash says that. He woke up suddenly and he cried out, Mi b'chatzer. The Al-Sheikh says, if this based on this Medrash, that Haman didn't come by dawn. Most Mepharshim say Haman came by dawn because that's what Zeresh told him. Zeresh said, go in the morning. So we assume that if she told him to go in the morning, he followed the plan, so he probably did come. But the Medrash learns out from the Pasuk of Balai Lahu, it wasn't that night, not at Shnas HaMelech, that the king's sleep was disturbed. That Haman must have come at night. So the machlok is whether he came at night or in the dawn. The Al-Sheikh says that based on this medrash that he came at night, he said, why did he come at night? The plan was to come to the morning. He said Haman couldn't wait. So again, you see, Haman couldn't wait because he wanted to get rid of Mordechai earlier. And his coming earlier caused him to come in exactly at the moment when Achashverosh was having a nightmare. So you have another example of Haman putting the noose around his neck and tightening it, and he's going to eventually pull the lever that's going to make the floor fall out beneath him. Because he couldn't wait, because he wanted Mordechai to die earlier, that's why he walked in at that moment, and that is why Achashverosh was so wary of him, and he was suspicious of him, and he felt threatened by him, so that Haman was taking steps that led to his own downfall. Let's see, Al-Sheikh. Mi b'chatzer. The Kayak says that you take the word Bechatzer. You take the word Bechatzer. And you separate it into two segments, Beis Ches and Tzadik Reish. So Tzadik Reish means an enemy, an oppressor. That refers to Haman. The Tzadik Reish is, Ish Tzar V'ayiv Haman. Esther calls Haman a Tzar. Later on. So Tzar is Haman. And Beis Ches is the Begumatria 10. Beis is 2 and Ches is 8. And that's his 10 sons. So Mi Bechatzer. The word Bechatzer refers to the 10 sons of Haman. That's the Beis Ches. The Tzadik Reish refers to Haman. And Mi Begumatria is...
So 50,
because the Bechatzer, the Bach, and the Tsar, the 10 sons, and the enemy, and the oppressor, are going to be on the gallows, which is 50. I'm sorry, I told you, Rekeach finds an allusion to the gallows, to the tree, to the beam, and every single pasuk. Every single one.
Which 10 sons?
If you want a complete list, the Megillah lists them for you. For your edification purposes.
Didn't he have 180 sons or something?
He had 208. He had 208, he had 10, and he had 1. Three groups of sons. There's an interesting chazal in this pasuk. It says, Ashehechin La. You look at the pasuk, the last words of the pasuk are Ashehechin La. He prepared them for him. It doesn't say, Ashehechin La Mordechai. It doesn't say, Haman prepared the gals for Mordechai. It says, Ashehechin La. What does Ashehechin La mean? He prepared it for him. He prepared it for him. The Gemara in Megillah says, Haman thought he prepared it for Mordechai, but he didn't. He prepared it for him. He prepared it for himself. Ashehechin La. The Gemara in Megillah says, Ashehechin La. It's a Gemara Megillah, Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph. Ashehechin Lai means that he prepared it for himself. Haman prepared it for himself. He thought he prepared it for Mordechai, but he prepared the eights, Ashehechin Lai, which he was preparing himself. He was sewing his own burial shrouds, and he didn't realize it yet. The Vilna Gaon explains the Gemara that there's two ways to view this. Mordechai, Haman was empowered at the time to kill Mordechai, and he was on his way to do it. So does that mean that there was a Gzardin and Shemayim on Mordechai? If Haman's going on his way to Achshverosh, he's on his way to bring about Mordechai's early departure from this world.
Obviously.
Does that mean there was a Gzardin against Mordechai and Hashem saved, Hashem changed the Gzardin? If that would be true, this is how the Vilna Gaon explains the Gemara. So that means that the gallows was prepared for Mordechai. When Haman built it, there was a Gzardin on Mordechai. But for some reason, because of a schus, because of a tefillah, because of a fast, so Hashem changed it to Haman. So the Vilna Gaon, no, that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. There never was a Gzardin on Mordechai. Mordechai was the exception. Everyone else in Klal Yisrael was in trouble. But Mordechai, out of everyone, was clean and green. There was never a Gzardin on him.
It would have been like another Moshe Rabbeinu?
Something like that, I guess. Mordechai was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Makabel Torah of that generation. The gallows was always destined for Haman. It was never destined for Mordechai. There was never a Havamina that Mordechai should be on. It was always a Shehechin Lai. That's how the Vilna Gaon understands the Gemara. The Medrash, there's an interesting Medrash Rabbah. I love this. It's so good. It's so good. That when Haman made the gallows, he wanted to go through a trial run to see how it would work. Exactly how the mechanics, how the neck would go through the noose and how it would, so he tried it on himself. That's the Medrash says. He measured it. Yes. And then a Basco comes out from Shemayim. Oh. That says, your name is Memuchan. Haman's name was Memuchan. We know his name was Memuchan.
Yeah.
Memuchan means destiny. Destined. He said, this gallows was created in Sheish Shemei Bereishis. It was from the Teva of Mayach. And that was 10 generations after Adam Arishan. So that means that the tree that Tevas Neach was made from goes back to Sheish Shemei Bereishis. I think you can make some parallels between this and the fish that that swallowed Yonah. Okay, that was also from Cheshire Bereshis, which means that the world, the destiny of the world, relies on this gallows, just like the destiny of the world relies on that fish. And we spoke about it when we talked about the fish, because Yonah had in him the root to Mashiach and Yosef, and Mordechai. And Haman, this is Mamash the Mechama of Yankov Keneged Esa. This is the Mechama went out through all the generations. So this beam was Mamuchan! It was Mamuchan! It's ready, it's prepared, from the time that it was in Gan Eden, from Shesh Shemei Breshes, its destiny was for one thing. This tree in Gan Eden, Shesh Shemei Breshes, was there for one reason. To break Haman's neck. That's a Shehechim Lai. Okay? That's a Sheikh Lai. Pasuk Hey.
Baskol came to Haman?
Yes. Well, whether you heard it or not, you know, Baskols go out all the time. And not everyone hears it. There's a certain level that people hear things that they're not conscious of it. He definitely heard it. Whether he was conscious of hearing it. But you ever heard the expression, when someone shivers, they feel like someone just walked over their grave or something like that? You ever heard that expression?
Goosebumps, yes, same thing.
Yeah. The Gemara talks about this, that there's a certain fear that people have because their mazel sees it. They don't see it. Their mazel sees it. That means that there's an impending threat which the spiritual part of the person is privy to. They sees it, but the physical part of the person doesn't have a clue. So they have a feeling of... We all get these feelings. They have a feeling of being closed in, and even feeling some kind of a threatening feeling. So he's definitely on that level. He felt something. Whether he heard the heavenly voice, I doubt it. He wasn't on that level that Hashem would ever want to do that for him. But yeah, he heard the peal of the bells that heralded his doom.
Rabbi, wasn't Mordechai from the Shal?
Yeah, Mordechai was from Shal.
Mordechai said before, when he was talking to Esther, telling her that she had to fast that you and all your fathers had to be destroyed because the only reason we're allowed to make up for Shal.
Yeah, but Mordechai would do it with me.
But he said that all Shaul's line was going to be killed out.
Yeah. So you're saying that that doesn't coincide with the Vilnagain that says that the Jardin was never on Mordechai to be hung.
Yeah.
Besides the answer here that there could be a Machlaikas and Farsham, which is definitely true. But we're talking about two different Jardins. You see, that's talking about if she doesn't go to Achashverosh, so all of Klaishah is going to be killed on Yud Gimel Adar of the following year. And Mordechai could have been among them. You know, all of Klaishah gets killed out, Mordechai will be among them. And here we're talking about a specific Zardin against Mordechai. He should be hung a year in advance. It's here that the Vilna Gaon says that the Zardin wasn't on Mordechai. So the Vilna Gaon over here is not talking about the Zardin and Klaishah, which will take place, which was to take place 11 months later. So it's not even a contradiction. Two of our deans. Where are we? Ifan Achna. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. So Vayim and Arya Melech and the young lads of the king who hate Haman, they hate him. Elav, they said to him, Hine means behold. It's a very significant word. Hine, behold. Hine. Haman is standing there. Your worst nightmare has come to haunt you, Achashverosh. There's an expression in Yiddish, of my chalemazol is coming. You know, I don't want him to come, and I don't want him to come in my dreams either. My chalemazol is coming. Haman is there. Vayem HaMelech, and the king said, Yavo, let him come.
Wasn't afraid.
The commentary written by Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, the Luchadaydi, says, Hine Haman. Hine means prepared, armed and dangerous. That's what Hine means. When the sheriff says to a deputy, yeah, let's go. The deputy says, I'm ready. So that means he's got his six guns. You know, he's got his gun in the holster. It's loaded. He's cleaned his gun. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's roll. We're ready. Hineni means he's armed and dangerous. He's ready. He's prepared. He has a plan. He's plotting something. He's carrying out something. So the lads were telling Achashverosh, they hated Haman. They hated him. They told Achashverosh, the commentaries say that Haman, he was never the first one to show up at the palace. Haman was too important for that. He's going to get there. Haman was always the last one to arrive. Everybody should wait for him. The great and powerful Haman is coming. The Gemara says that Tamid HaChachamim, they shouldn't be Matriach B'tzibur to walk in last, because they walk in last and everyone's going to stand up for them. The Gemara says that a Tamid HaChachamim shouldn't be Matriach B'tzibur. Well, Haman, he didn't have the tzibur in mind. He walked in last. He was always the last one to arrive at the palace. He wasn't a morning person. The young lads, they told Achashverosh, Haman's up to something. Achashverosh said, how do you know that? He's never been here at this hour before. They spooked him. They scared him. Bechatzer, in the courtyard, has a remez in it. This is also from Shlomo Alkovitz. You rearrange the words Bechatzer, Beis Ches Tzadik Reish, and you get the word. You just take the reish from the end. Right, you rearrange them. You get the words Baretzach. You take Beis Ches Tzadik Reish and you rearrange it to Beis Reish Tzadik Ches. You get Baretzach. Baretzach means Ritzicha, with murder. Hinei Haman. Haman is here early in the morning. Baretzach, because he has murder. He has the glint of murder in his eyes. Achashverosh said, Yavo, come. Why does Achashverosh say come? Why do you invite a murderer in? Come in, said the spider.
Better that he should know what he's doing.
Right. That's what they said. He invited him in because what? Because he had a dream. And he had a dream that Haman's trying to kill him. The young lads are saying Haman wants to kill him. So he wanted to test Haman. He wanted to test Haman's loyalty. And Haman didn't pass. As we'll see in the upcoming psukim. He wanted to test his loyalties to see whether the dream is true and whether what the lads were saying was true. Because the dream could arouse suspicion. The lads is confirmation. But actual proof he wanted to see for himself.
So the Beretzach and Bechatzer is Rafiach?
Same letters. No, that's a Shlomo Alkovitz. Yes, believe it or not, there's a remez in others for him too. But the Rekeach says, Vayem HaMelech. Yavo, the Gemara says anytime it says Amalek, it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Vayem HaMelech Yavo means that the king of the world, which means God, Hashem, says Yavo, let Haman. Yavo means it's time for Haman to arrive. It's time for Haman to get it. Yavo is, now it's time for Haman to come. Let's separate his neck from the rest of it, his head from the rest of his body. Yavo. Yavo. Yavo, Remelch Yavo. You remember, Yavo is a word of Geula. It's a word of Geula. Bo Yavo Barina. Yavo means the ultimate redemption. Bo Yavo Barina Nosi Alumasav. Does anybody remember what the Rosh Tevis of Yavo is? No.
The Rosh Tevis.
Yavo, Yona Ben Amitai. So we have another parallel. You see, Megillus Esther, Megillus Yerina, Mamish, intertwined with one another. Yerina ben Amitai. Ve'yemer melech yevo. Ve'yava berina. Vaito. Ve'yse vaito.
Who says that?
That's me. I hope it's true. Who knows? Yevo. Vayavay Haman. Haman came. Vayemla Melech. Yeah, so this is why. So according to the explanation of the previous pasuk, you can understand why the king is asking Haman this. Ma'alasos be'ish. What should be done to a person or for a person? Hashem Melech Chavetz Bikar, which the king he seeks to honor him. You'll notice he left out the gedula. It got dropped.
You couldn't raise Haman any higher. If you want Haman to believe he was raising Haman.
That's a very good point. But Achashverosh didn't have Haman in mind.
No, I know, but if you want him to think he's testing his
loyalty. How'd you figure that out? On your own, you figured that out? That he dropped it in order. I mean, let's see, that's mamash. That was very good. It was a very good cop. The Mefarshim said that beferish. He said, what is to be done for a person? The king wants to show him Yikari, wants to honor him. What about Gedula?
So that's how much?
Akashverish, you see, there's different ways of approaching this pasuk. Let me just finish the pasuk. Rayam Haman believer, Haman thought, he said in his heart, he didn't tell anyone this. Nobody, just Haman. He's the only one that knows what he's thinking, but we know. Lemi Yachbat Samalach, Lasso is Yikoy, Yitzimani. Who could the king want to give honor more than me? Alright, so you know, there's different ways you can approach this pasuk. What the pasuk shot is, Akashverish was disturbed, he didn't reward Mordechai, and he was asking Haman advice. That's the Pashup Shab. The Alshuk said that he had more than that in mind. He wanted Haman to think that he meant him. He wanted to know what's going through Haman's mind.
If he wanted him to think that he meant him, then he would have said Haman.
Right. Why didn't you? Okay. I hope we'll have time to finish this puzzle today. Alright, so the. I will do one thing at a time. The Rav Shlomo Alkovitz says V'yavoy Haman v'yemelei HaMelech. There's no interruption. There's no room to pause in between those two phrases. Haman came and the king spoke to him right away. When Haman came, he came to do the talking. Lashon HaPasuk is Le'mor LaMelech. Haman came to tell the king. He wasn't coming to be polite, you know. He was coming to tell the king. Like Haman said, I do the talking, Achashverosh. You do the listening. We asked the questions here. But Achashverosh didn't give him a chance to open his mouth. As soon as he walked in, Achashverosh immediately said something. So Haman was never able to get it out of his mouth. And this is a piashkacha. Achashverosh kept Haman busy until it was too late. He didn't have time. That's Shlomo Alkovitz. The Yeshiv Lekach on this pasuk, he asked the question. Achashverosh wanted to give honor and greatness. That means to honor someone and raise him up to a higher position. And here, he wants to know how to honor him. Why did he drop it? So Yisrael Lekach doesn't say what Yonah just said. He says that Achashverosh was interested in rewarding Mordechai as little as possible. So when he read from the book, he realized, oh, Mordechai saved my life. I better do greatness and honor. But then as time passed, he tried to see how little he could get away with. So he dropped, you know, I'll just honor him. I won't raise him up. So Achashverosh was like a tzarai, and he was stingy with the things he gave out. He didn't want to. He knew that he should have, so he mentioned honor and greatness, but then when it came down to it, let's see what I could get away with, you know, what could I get for 2 cents? He left it out. Lemaisa, the Yisrael Lekach says, if he would have said greatness and honor, Haman never would have thought it's himself. Because the only position above Haman's was, and that wasn't available. So if he would have said greatness and honor, Haman would have known that he was asking for somebody else. But since Achashverosh left out greatness, because he didn't want to do that to Mordechai, he was stingy, so Min HaShemayim Achashverosh left it out, and that caused Haman to think that it was his. It was inadvertently. Achashverosh did not intend to trick Haman. According to the Yisrael Lekach, he did not intend to trick Haman, he just wanted to give as little as possible to Mordechai. But inadvertently, he left out the one clue that would have told Haman. Okay? Haman thought it was him. It's Haman HaShemayim. So because of that, if Haman would have known it was somebody else, he would have said something very small. But since he thought it was him, it was something very big.
If Haman came to ask for that one wish, wouldn't that be what he would have said? If he needs to talk about himself, what is the honor? He would have said something like, give him one wish, anything
give him
that he
wish.
Wants.
Cool.
That he would be able to kill him.
Yeah, well, Haman wasn't sure. No, Haman wasn't sure. He wasn't sure it was him, he just thought it was him. We're going to see the Mefarshim say that Haman had to cover his tracks.
Right.
He had to cover. And then the Gemara Megillah says, how do we know what Haman was thinking? So this is one of the evidence, you know, this is one of the items of evidence that Esther was said Baruch HaKadosh. It's not a history book. It's Nevuah, it's prophecy, it's Ruach HaKodesh. And even though Haman thought about it, and he died before he could tell anyone about it, it's two things. First of all, he didn't express it. And he died before he could tell anyone about it. So how do we know? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Navi, and the Navi wrote it down. So the Gemara Megillah, Dab Zayin Amud Aleph says that this is one of the things that thrusts themselves forward that shows us that Megillah Esther was said with Ruach HaKadosh. Okay, so it's getting exciting.